Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to continue to talk about Christ our King. We celebrated this past Sunday the solemnity of Christ the King, who's King of the universe, the King of glory. The whole church year culminates in the celebration of Jesus' total victory, and we see in Jesus' rule and reign our future. You know, the church has the grace capacity to be able to understand better than anybody else the destiny of the human race, really why we're here, where we've come from, and ultimately where we're going, because we see our future in the person of Jesus Christ, and faith gives us access to Christ and the preaching of the church and what's brought to us with clarity who Jesus is, what he's accomplished in us, and where he is right now at the right hand of the Father, where he is, as St. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, he's subduing all the enemies of God. Jesus really is the King of glory. He's the King of the universe. And all power, as he said, all power and authority belong to him. And what he's doing right now is, Paul tells us, he's dealing with the enemies of God. First of all, he's established his kingdom on the earth in the church. We're a sign and living presence of the outpost of the kingdom of God here in this world, and it's human history's leading toward the second coming of Jesus when he will definitively deal with all those who stand against the Father's plan and purpose in enthroning Jesus as king and establishing his kingdom. So we celebrate it. We celebrate the glory of the Lord. And as I said, we see in Jesus our future. And this is what gives the Christian community hope. We ought to be filled with hope in this great season in particular, knowing even in the midst of our weakness and the crises in the church, the failures in the church, it's disappointing, it's sobering, it's scandalous, it's wrong, but ultimately it shouldn't surprise us, the weakness of the human flesh and the reality that we're living in a battlefield. Even Christians can fall asleep to the reality of the battle, despite the fact that the apostles warn us again and again to be alert, to be clear-headed, to be sober, to be ready to resist the devil, to seek God first, and to seize the kingdom of God with everything that we have. Well, it's easy for us, as the book of Revelation showed us over the last few weeks, as Jesus addressed the seven churches of the book of Revelation, for us to fall asleep, to be seduced by the world, the flesh and the devil, to be compromised, to prefer to live in the twilight rather than to live in the light, to play with sin rather than to say no to sin. So those realities are present in human beings in the church because human beings make up the church. It's, as many have said, it's the hospital for sinners who are on their way to becoming saints. And not everybody who's in the church is going to end there, unfortunately, it seems, right? Because of the reality of the spiritual battle. But that doesn't change the fact, the weakness of the church itself and people in it does not change the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord of all, that he's the King of the universe, that he's established the Father's kingdom, and he's going to bring about its definitive and absolute total rule and complete establishment when he comes again in glory to judge the living and the dead. So the church celebrates the greatness and the majesty of Jesus and declares it. And we can still bring hope to the world because we're not pointing just to ourselves, we're pointing to the King. We're saying, there's our hope. The person of Jesus Christ, and by the miracle of baptism and the gift of the Holy Spirit and this grace flowing through the church, we're united to him, the victorious one, who alone is perfect, who alone is holy, and even his mother, who is sinless, participates in that through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ applied to her life. He's the source of all life, and it's there for each and every one of us. And the church wants to awaken us in these days to the glory, the victory, and the majesty of Jesus, his beauty, and his splendor, but the church wants to call each and every one of us to radically turn our lives to him, to bow down before our King, to declare his greatness, and to respond to Paul's beautiful prayer in Ephesians and others, that our eyes, the eyes of our hearts might be opened and enlightened, to have the Holy Spirit shed light into our hearts so we can see the greatness of the King. And while we still have time on earth, that we would put everything behind this fundamental goal and purpose and priority is to live totally for him. And as St. Paul tells us, to live in a way that pleases Christ. That the big question in our life is not, how am I going to be successful? How am I going to accomplish this, that, or other thing? But the first question, the great question is, how can I please my Lord? Paul says we make it our aim now to please him, to live radically for him. Knowing, first of all, being motivated by love, knowing what he's done for us, and in gratitude and total surrender, becoming everything we're called to be, but also knowing that very soon, and this is part of the theme that unfolds at this time of the year, toward the end of the church year, and it'll be part of the theme in Advent as well, that this time and season on the earth is brief, it's short, and soon you will appear before the judgment seat of that king. And friends, we want to be able to live totally for him in deep and profound loyal friendship to Christ, to take on his priorities, so that when we appear before him and our life, our whole life is shown before him, we'll see, we'll be able to say from the heart, by God's grace, I loved you, Lord, with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Jesus will reward that love. He'll acknowledge that friendship and that loyalty to him. Remember, he's a person. He's Mary's son. He has a heart. He has emotions, his feelings, he has eyes to see. And he knows those who want him and don't want him, those who wanted him with all their heart and those who just put a toe in the water and that was enough, that they wanted to cling to things in this world first. But the church, again, celebrates the victory of the king. I ran across a paragraph from a document that was put out by the Sacred Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith years ago called Dominus Jesus, which I love. And it was a clarifying document that talks about who Jesus is, his utter uniqueness. It helped to clear up the confusion that's in the world and in some places in the church, the kind of syncretism that happens even in the church, which is what? That Jesus is one of many messiahs or one of many important spiritual leaders, and he's the Christian God. He's not the God for everyone. These kinds of really foolish and dark thoughts, it's not true. There's no one like Jesus. But here's an example of what the church believes about the person of Jesus. It's a mouthful, but I want to read it because it's just so filled with adjectives of what the church believes and thinks about Jesus. In this sense, one can and must say that Jesus Christ has a significance and a value for the human race and its history, which are unique, singular, proper to him alone, exclusive, universal, and absolute. That's a mouthful. In other words, the church is saying there's literally no one like Jesus. No one has and can have the impact on human beings, the whole entire race, and human history that Jesus Christ has had, is having, and will have for all eternity. Again, he is unique, singular, exclusive, universal, and absolute in his reign over the earth and God's all of God's creation. It goes on, it says, Jesus is, in fact, the Word of God made man for the salvation of all. In expressing this consciousness of faith, the Second Vatican Council teaches the following. The Word of God, through whom all things were made, was made flesh. Okay, what does that mean? The Word of God, the Logos, Jesus, the second person of the Trinity. What we know is that all things were made through Jesus. All things were made through the Word of God, the second person of the Trinity. And all things were made for him. And this second person of the Trinity took on human flesh in the womb of Mary. He became one of us. And so the council's underlining, it's this one through whom all things were made. He was made flesh so that as perfect man, he could save all men and sum up all things in himself. That's a mouthful there. Adam was meant to be perfect. Adam was meant to live without sin. So was Eve. And together they were meant to perfectly image God who is three persons in one. They were meant to come together in love as the Father and Son come together, and the Father and the Son's love brings about the person of the Holy Spirit, and the love of a husband and a wife together in their sexual love and total unity, their bodily unity, which physically symbolizes the reality of their heart unity, the core and the spirit in them being united as one. And in that unity, in the unity of their love, comes forth another who's made in the image and likeness of God. So Jesus comes from the Father. He's perfect man as he takes on human flesh, and he's come to save us all and sum up all things in himself. We can see now at the right hand of the Father where he's Lord, we see the sum of God's purpose and plan for the human race revealed in Jesus. The text goes on. The Lord is the goal of human history. He's the focal point of the desires of history and of civilization. He is the center of mankind, the joy of all hearts, and the fulfillment of all aspirations. It is he whom the Father raised from the dead, exalted and placed at his right hand, constituting him judge of the living and of the dead. It is precisely this uniqueness of Christ which gives him an absolute and universal significance whereby, while belonging to history, he remains history's center and goal. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. There is no one like him. This is Jesus, Mary's son, the beloved son of the Father, who's been crowned king of all things. Again, that last sentence. It is precisely this uniqueness of Christ. Friends, it's really important for us to see there is no one like Jesus. There is no one with his power, his majesty, his beauty, his glory. There's no one who can save us but Jesus. He's entirely unique. His uniqueness as Christ gives him an absolute and universal significance. While belonging to history, he remains history's very center and goal. The whole purpose for which creation came to be. The whole purpose of life on this earth. The whole purpose of the human race is a gift from the Father for Jesus. You were made for Christ, to be found in him. You will never understand who you are. You'll never know your identity. You'll never have internal peace and a kind of deep wholeness and integration and sense of fullness and an abiding joy until you know the one for whom you were made. He made you himself. God wants you to exist, the unique person that you are, to be in union with his Son, so you can be with the Son forever in glory, and you can give glory to God, which is really what your heart most desires and wants, to live for the praise and the glory of God. Friends, that's your purpose. That's your destiny. And in Christ is the only place it can be found. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, What Happens When I Die, in which Ralph asks some very important questions. Is there life after death? What will it be like? How do my actions in this life affect what happens when I die? If you'd like a free copy of this booklet, you can go to 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.